Let's read together Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 35. Now, in this second half of Luke chapter 13, the Lord explains what the kingdom of God would be like now that the nation was rejecting the king and his kingdom. Let's begin by reading the last five verses of the chapter, verses 31 through 35. Luke chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following. For it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. And assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Let's begin our study of this second half of Luke chapter 13 with some background notes. In the first half of Luke chapter 13, the Lord predicted in the parable of the fig tree that the nation of Israel would be cut down because of her unbelief. Her crippled spiritual condition because of hypocrisy was visibly portrayed in the crippled woman who needed to be healed. The Lord could heal and would heal his people Israel if they, like the crippled woman, would turn in faith to him as Messiah and Savior. As the Lord Jesus said here in verse 34, he wanted to gather them together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but they were not willing. The self-righteous leaders of Israel continued to reject the true king and the kingdom of God, and therefore their nation and temple would be left desolate, as it happened in 70 AD when the Romans conquered Jerusalem and burned the temple. This desolate condition and unbelief of the nation would continue all the way to the end times, until finally many in the nation would turn in faith and say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The rejection of the king and his offer of the kingdom would culminate in the execution of the king. The Lord knew this, and we see from these verses that he knew that his crucifixion would shortly come to pass as he went on to Jerusalem. "Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem." And no threat from cunning Herod or agenda by the Jews to keep him from Jerusalem would change our Lord's plans to continue his wonderful preaching and teaching and healing ministry, even in Jerusalem. As we read in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, Luke 9, 51. As a result of Israel's rejection of their king and the kingdom of God, the Lord revealed in parables the form the kingdom would take between his rejection and his return, and also how it would be when he did return and set up his earthly kingdom. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this second half of Luke chapter 13. So doctrinal point number one, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed and like leaven in flour. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed and like leaven in flour. Verses 18 through 21. Luke chapter 13, beginning now at verse 18. Then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and put in his garden. And it grew and became a large tree, and the birds of the air nested in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till it was all leaven." In both the parables of the mustard seed and the leaven, the main point is obvious: growth. But now, is it good growth or bad growth? Answer: it's both. In order to appreciate this point, we need to understand that the kingdom of God is not the same as the church. The true church, by definition, is composed of all true believers who are called out of this world to become the body and bride of Christ. The kingdom of God, on the other hand, at the present time, is Christendom. That is, it encompasses the entire realm wherever Christianity has spread. It includes true believers and false professors, the wheat and the tares, as the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 13, the wise and the foolish virgins of Matthew chapter 25. These conditions will continue until the return of the Lord. So in these two parables, the good growth is the mustard seed itself and the pristine purity of Christianity at the beginning, and the good meal or flour before it was leavened. But as Christianity grew and spread, it did not remain pure. Even the false cults and unorthodox religious sects, which may be represented by the birds, have found their nesting places in the many branches of the tree of Christendom. Remember, the birds in the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13 were agents of Satan, taking away the good seed. They may have the same evil connotation in this parable as well. In a similar way, the leaven, which always seems to represent evil in the Bible, probably represents false teaching in the parable, which was mixed in with the good flour of truth in the early stages of Christianity and continues to spread as leaven throughout Christendom. So at the present time, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed and like leaven in flour. Doctrinal point number two: the kingdom of God has an open door, but will have a closed door. The kingdom of God has an open door, but will have a closed door. Verses 22 through 30. Luke chapter 13, beginning now at verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then one said to him, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you, where you are from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' But he will say, 'I tell you, I do not know you, and where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity.' There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last." As the Lord continued his journey to Jerusalem, he continued to preach from village to village the truth about the kingdom of God, as we can see from verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. In verse 23, we see that someone asked him the question, "Lord, are there few who are saved?" Now, the Lord did not directly answer the question, but he gave an answer that was better and more complete than the questioner expected or could have hoped for. The Lord's answer in his description of the kingdom of God is essentially our second doctrinal point. The kingdom of God has an open door, but will have a closed door. The open door is in the first part of verse 24. "Strive to enter through the narrow gate." The closed door is in the last part of verse 24. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And now the Lord describes the door in terms of a banquet, in which the door is open until the head of the house gets up and shuts the door. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door. Now, when will that be? It will be when the Lord returns and sets up his kingdom on this earth. Then the long-awaited and postponed kingdom of God, with Jesus literally reigning as king over this world, will have arrived, and the door of entrance will be closed. Jewish believers from Abraham on will be part of this messianic banquet. And Gentile believers from north and south and east and west, all over the world, will be there. But all unbelievers will be excluded, including these self-righteous folks that the Lord was addressing, because they still would not accept him as their Messiah. Once the door was shut, no amount of reasoning or change of heart would help. It would be too late. The destiny of the unbelievers would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Certainly a description of hell. Some will weep in sorrow forever. Some will gnash their teeth in anger forever. When the door is shut, there is a great reversal. Then some who are considered last now will be first, and some who are considered first now will be last. The good news is that the door is now still open. The kingdom of God has an open door now, but will have a closed door later. Now, what about practical application from this last half of Luke chapter 13? Don't confuse striving with doing good works. Don't confuse striving with doing good works. Verse 24, once again. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. Strive or make every effort. It almost sounds like the Lord is saying that you have to do good works in order to be saved. But we know that's not what the Lord means here, because the rest of Scripture clearly states that salvation is by faith and not by works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for example. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. What the Lord meant was that becoming a true disciple in the kingdom of God is not automatic. No one drifts into the kingdom of God. You must turn away from all other doors that the world has to offer to the narrow door of Christ alone. Temptation, worldly attractions, and satanic forces will keep many from entering the narrow door. So it does become a matter of striving to overcome all the barriers and obstacles and ensnarements that would keep us away from the narrow door of Christ. It's not a matter of good works, but it is a matter of striving. Don't confuse striving with doing good works.